And Eric, the big new Star Wars movie is coming out this week. So in anticipation, and this is something that, by the way, a lot of people are surprised when I tell them, I have not seen all of the Star Wars movies in the past. I have seen A New Hope, and I have seen Empire Strikes Back. And while I was getting ready to watch The Return of the Jedi over the weekend, I decided, in fact, I should go back and watch those other two first.
So I've got a few more to watch.
I've got one more now because I did watch those two over the weekend. Now I've got to see The Return of the Jedi before the end of the week. And we remember these movies came from 1977. That's when the first one was released in theater.
That's right. Other news events, 1977. Space Mountain first opened in Disneyland. The Sex Pistols, their only studio album, came out that year. And I think when Star Wars came out, it was still a month or two before the first Apple II computers went on sale.
So with that as the cultural backdrop of when the first Star Wars was released, the original one, how was it received by film critics at the time? Well, we wondered that. So we asked our producer in Washington, Miles Parks, to go and check out the NPR archives to see if he could find the original review. And unless you were listening back then, you have probably never heard. This has never been aired in the last 38 years, except for that one time. Here it is, the review of the original Star Wars, as introduced by, at the time, All Things Considered host, Susan Stamberg.
A new film opens this week in some 60 or 65 theaters across the country. It's a 20th Century Fox production by George Lucas, and the name of it is Star Wars. NPR film critic Tom Shales is here to talk to us about it. I don't know a thing about this film, but from the title, it makes me think that maybe it's a movie about Robert Redford and Paul Newman finally splitting.
Fighting over a contract.
I'm wrong, huh?
Wrong,
What's
Susan.
It about?
It's a wonderful picture that's going to take the country by proverbial storm.
Woo-hoo.
It's a complete science fiction fantasy with absolutely no redeeming moral values or moralistic values.
What
either.
A relief. Not yes. another 2001 where we don't know what we've seen, but we know it was spectacular and we should have known.
Exactly. It has nothing whatsoever to say about the future or where mankind is going to end up or any of that. In fact, it's set in the past, in many eons ago in another galaxy, and it's like Flash Gordon with 2001 technology. The effects are fantastic, and yet the story is nice and silly so that absolutely anyone can enjoy it.
Sounds good.
It's wonderful. I think every kid in the country ought to take his parents to see it because it's the best children's picture for adults since The Wizard of Oz. It's that kind of magical fantasy.
Now, very often these science fiction movies are very frightening, scary, with a lot of violence. Does this have that?
It has a lot of action, but except for a creature getting its arm cut off, which is very fleetingly done, there's really no violence.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who made it, George Lucas, is only 32, but he's an absolute movie buff. He made one very preachy sci-fi film called THX-1138. In fact, if you listen carefully on the soundtrack of this one, you'll hear someone say, when the spaceships are blasting off, callback number 1138. I think that's his way of saying that this kind of science fiction is a lot more fun, maybe even more valuable than the other kind, than the didactic kind.
Are there any big stars in this?
I suppose the biggest star is Alec Guinness, but he has to share the bill with newcomers like Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford, and they're all great. And they all have to share the bill further with computers and robots and hairy creatures that are afraid of their own growls and the delightful fabrications like that.
Ordinarily, the star of a science fiction film is the special effects. These are very good, you say. Can you describe some?
Gee, it's kind of hard to describe the universe blowing up in your face. The whole film is in pursuit, the heroes are in pursuit of the Death Star, which is this gigantic artificial planet that's going around to sort of enforce order in the universe. And that naturally explodes at the end, rather quietly, actually. But before that, there's all kinds of holocaust and explosion and a fantastic effect when the characters go, when they're in their spaceship, which is kind of a broken down old barge, actually, and they go from space into hyperspace, and the whole screen, all the stars kind of explode in your face. And when I saw it in L.A., the audience actually applauded. They were so excited. They really felt they were off on a great adventure, and they were.
Did they do neat things like dancing on the ceiling the way Fred Astaire used to, or whirling around?
Well, this is a combination of many genres, including everything from Robin Hood pictures to The Wizard of Oz to Flash Gordon, but it really isn't a musical. That's the only thing it isn't, though, Susan.
I would like to see a whole bunch of computers kicking their heels in unison wearing bananas on their heads.
I'd like to kick a whole bunch of heels wearing bananas on their heads. It almost goes that far.
Thanks very much. The movie is Star Wars, the movie reviewer, NPR's Tom Shale.
And for this evening, that's All Things Considered.
There you go. 1977. That was Susan Stamberg talking to then NPR movie critic Tom Shales. That last voice you heard, any guesses? That was Bob Edwards. And I guess, Eric, we should say, spoiler alert, if you didn't know what happened in Star Wars.
If you didn't know, spoiler alert. Yeah, but Bob Edwards hosting All Things Considered Morning Edition hadn't even started then in 1977.
Wow.
So that's interesting to think about. And a little time capsule there. You know, it was funny. Susan said, it can be scary for kids. And this is 1977. I asked my six-year-old just the other day, do you want to see Star Wars? Showed her a trailer. She was pretty scared, but deeply intrigued.
Well, she'll have to check it out.
Indeed.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WVUR in association with the BBC World Service. You can find that review if you want to listen again at our website, hereandnow.org. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Eric Westervelt. You're listening to Here and Now.